from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah! I think Woodsy heard us in Hawaii on that one. Welcome in on a Wednesday morning. What a night. What a day for your San Diego Padres. It is Ben and Woods. I'm Ben Higgins, joined by our executive producer, imaging director, and wearing many hats guy, Paul Reindl, today as Stephen Woods continues his vacation week. And I've got to think he's...
day one. FOMO.
I don't know that he's regretting his decision to go on vacation, but he's going... Why does this have to happen? The first day I am gone. Like, I get on a plane, Padres make 3 trades at the deadline, and then come back from 5-0 down to beat the Los Angeles Dodgers in walk-off fashion last night in the 10th inning. 6-5 if you didn't stay up for whatever reason. You went to bed early thinking, this isn't going to happen.
Turned it off after the first inning.
Oh, man. We've got some audio for you today. We've got just a very exciting Wednesday on the program. Good morning, Pauly.
Great morning, Ben.
Great morning.
Great morning.
You got the Rally Roach over there. Oh. I kissed the Roach yesterday.
There's our Rally Roach.
The Rally Roach seems to still be in effect here. It was electric last night at Petco Park.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely electric. The record crowd... Over 47,000, the biggest crowd in the history of Petco Park. Officially, 47,559 people. I mean, we got to be straining like the what is possible for a baseball game. How many people can you get in Gallagher Square and in the concourses for a game?
Right.
And if, from the sound of it and the look of it in the stands, 70-80% Padres fans, I would say. Yeah, there were some Dodgers fans there. They got to cheer a little bit early, and then not again after the top of the first inning. It was all Padres excitement as they slowly made their way back all the way to the 9th inning. Oh yes, we've got all the calls for you of the incredible home runs in the 9th inning to tie it, and then the walk-off by Donovan Solano. Pinch hit. I mean, Mike Schilt pulling all the strings in the bottom of the 10th inning.
How fantastic is that?
If the Padres... A 6-5 win on a day that you thought, uh-oh, all right, they're going to lose a second one here, and now, all right, they're going to... Every other team in the wild card race won yesterday. This is not the way you want to get your post-trade deadline last 2 months of the season started, but instead it goes down as another fantastic victory in a season that is starting to be chock full of them. I mean, just the memorable wins going all the way back to the 8-0 comeback against the Cubs way back in April. I mean, there are a lot of...
Seven walk-offs,
4-1 in extra inning games.
Man.
I mean, this team could not be more opposite of the 2023 Padres from last year.
Yeah.
All the magic they did not have last year seems to have found its way into the Padres clubhouse this year.
I can't really explain it, but it's there. It's absolutely there. I think yesterday it had strong vibes of 2022, acquiring Juan Soto at the trade deadline. Padres made a lot of splashes yesterday at the trade deadline. Nothing crazy like bringing in a guy like Juan Soto, but by all accounts, one of the biggest, if not the biggest winner of the trade deadline. And then remember in 2022, the grand slam by Brandon Drury, like Petco Park was just on fire. Everyone's like, we're never losing again.
Sure. All the walk-offs,
yeah,
LFGSD.
You kind of felt like that a little bit last night.
I mean, the magic was extremely high in 2022. It led them all the way to the National League Championship Series eventually. The magic was completely missing last year. I mean,
it was never there.
There may have been no less magical season in baseball than last year's Padres season. Every one run game, every extra inning game.
Like even
no comebacks, no big in. I mean, nothing last year. Nothing worked out for the team last year.
Even 2021 with the, what did Peter call it, a once in a generation
collapse,
once in a millennium collapse. That first half of the year still had plenty of memorable moments. I remember being there, like, sweeping the Dodgers in June, and you're thinking, oh, we're the favorites to win the World Series this year. Didn't happen. In just epic fashion, they collapsed. But last year just really didn't have any magical moments at all.
I mean, I think Ha-Sung Kim
walk-off on April
3rd or whatever it was. And then it's like, all right, here we go. We're carrying the momentum from 2022 right into 2023. Uh-uh. That was pretty much it until the last couple of weeks of the season when it was too late. So, they keep it going. There's definitely a confidence, something that, you know, maybe it's Jackson Merrill, maybe it's Mike Schilt. What's that different? I mean, a lot of the players are the exact same players that were there in that 2023 season, but just having a seemingly completely different attitude in 2024. And again, you know, one win doesn't change the course of a season, but it certainly is more than just, hey, a one-off kind of game, because they've done this many times over the course of the year now, and just continuing a trend. We will talk about it pretty much for the next 5 hours. Well, you and I for four.
Yes.
And then we've got the roundtable coming up this morning at 10 o'clock when we'll be joined by Annie and Elston, Gwen and Chris, and Sammy Levitt's going to be in for Woodsy on the roundtable today when we'll discuss the trade deadline moves and the final 2 months of the season coming up for your San Diego Padres, who have one more against the Dodgers today. We were just going through it because I wasn't sure, and Paulie confirmed it for me. Padres need one more win against the Dodgers to clinch their first season series against that team since 2010.
Yeah.
14 years ago was the last time the Padres took a season series from the Dodgers. They're now 6-3 against LA this season with four games remaining. One today at Petco Park, three more in Los Angeles later in the year. And if they win any of them, seven wins would clinch the season series. Not that that gets you to the playoffs, not that losing a season series to the Dodgers prevents you from getting to the playoffs, but it will be nice, hopefully, to turn the tables on an organization that has owned the Padres, at least in the regular season, outside of the 2022 playoffs, that's just owned you for, you know, 14 years now, and you finally have a chance to, and this year, especially when the Dodgers had all the hype going into the year with Shohei Ohtani and Yamamoto and the moves that they made in the offseason.
Yeah, they spent $69 billion this offseason.
Well, the Padres cut payroll by close to $100 million.
Yeah.
And this is the year that the Padres finally, you know, break the streak against the LA Dodgers. Baseball doesn't really make that much sense.
Maybe spend some of that big budget on an updated rule book for your manager. I don't know.
That was a weird situation that we can talk about in the 10th inning as well. The double mound visits by Dave Roberts that cost his pitcher a pitch clock violation with the bases loaded and Donovan Solano coming to the plate.
I will just say it for him. And look, it's 3:09 right now in Hawaii, but we're hoping that Woodsy will call in maybe in the 9 o'clock hour if he's there. I'll just say it now for him, though. I hope Dave Roberts gets a lifetime extension for the Dodgers. As long as he is the manager of the Dodgers, we got a chance. We have a shot.
Well, you know, I'm always a little torn on that subject, but I mean, he certainly hasn't gotten the most out of that franchise over the last few years. I mean, in the regular season, yeah, they've had some good ones. This year, though, beset by injuries, they have not totally been able to overcome them. Now, they're still in first place. 5.5 games ahead of the Padres. You win today, though, and I heard Sam Levitt talking about it on the postgame show last night. You win today, cut the deficit to 4.5, and you've got the tiebreaker in terms of the season series, so you know exactly all you need to do is finish with the same record as them at the end of the season. You've got a bullpen that's now built, and we'll talk about the moves that were made yesterday that is built to protect any lead that you can get pretty much after the sixth inning. You're trying to shorten those games and go, hey, we get ahead, we're going to be a very difficult team to beat in the last three innings of the game, given the arms that we've got in the back end of the bullpen. Is it crazy to think that the Padres could chase the Dodgers down? No, I don't think it is crazy to say that could be a realistic, legitimate goal in the last 2 months of the season. But it probably has to start with another win tonight in game two of the series with Dylan Cease making his first start since the no-hitter going up against Clayton Kershaw at 5:40 today, 4:40 Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sammy Levitt. But again, we got so much else to talk about from the game last night and the trade deadline. We will kind of set the menu. Why don't we just take a timeout right now, Paulie?
Okay.
We'll set the menu when we come back. I think we should talk about some of the trades, get to our Padres rewind, listen to all the calls from Jesse. And then at 7:30, I think we'll have all the calls from everywhere else that Paulie's been hard at work compiling this morning from last night's game.
Manny, I wanted to come in last night at like 11 p.m. I could not sleep. I couldn't go to bed after that game last night. I was so wired. I thought maybe I'll just come on in and pull the all-nighter. I still came in early, but I did get a few hours of sleep. But what a game. What a day for the Padres.
It was the kind of game that just leaves you the adrenaline flowing, leaves you wired, hard to sleep, but in a good way.
You know, like,
all is good in the world.
I figured it out before we go to break. We were talking a few minutes ago about how this year feels. The magic, it's there. I don't know what this season holds for the Padres, but the magic is there. It wasn't there last year. And I looked at our chat on YouTube, and a lot of people were, you know, putting PS in the heart, Peter in the heart, Peter emojis. And I thought, maybe the baseball gods are smiling on San Diego this year, because they sure as hell weren't last year.
1 year soon, the baseball gods will smile on the San Diego Padres, and we will have a parade.
Maybe someone is giving them a little nudge.
Maybe.
Up there. For the San Diego Padres in 2024. All right, we'll come back. Plenty to get to. Kelly's got traffic, and then we are running on a morning that I am more than glad that I'm not on vacation today and get to be here and talk about it with all the Tier 1s, with you, Paulie. We'll tell you about our guests coming up as well, because that's a busy morning as well. Think A.J. Preller. Think League Baseball manager who the Padres pulled off a trade with in his team yesterday. All coming up here in the next 2 hours with Ben and Woods, Ben and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
So I had this thought last night. Imagine you are Tanner Scott and Brian Hoeing. And this is the clubhouse you get to walk into today. After last night's walk-off win over the Dodgers, you arrive and you go, wow, this place is jamming. Welcome to San Diego. Welcome to the San Diego Padres, to the Padres' newest trade acquisitions. It's Ben and Woods, Ben and Paul this morning here on 97.3 The Fan. So obviously at the trade deadline, Padres did some things, maybe not exactly what we expected them to do, in terms of no real starting pitching acquisition. I mean, they did get Martin Perez. We can talk about that in a second. But the big deal, of course, was with the Miami Marlins acquiring left-handed pitcher, closer, Tanner Scott, an all-star. He's got a 1.18 ERA. He's unscored upon in 17 straight appearances. He's been absolutely lights out. And then a second reliever, right-handed pitcher Brian Hoeing, more of a middle inning, eat a couple of innings guys, has been an opener for the Marlins before, in exchange for four prospects and pretty much the top two pitching prospects that were remaining after they had traded Dylan Lesko a couple of days prior in the other deal to get Jason Adam, another relief pitcher from the Rays, but they trade Robbie Snelling, Adam Major, Graham Pauly, and infielder Jay Beshears to get more bullpen help, but not addressing the starting pitching rotation. We will find out a little bit more about the Padres' newest acquisitions in less than an hour, because at 7 o'clock, our friend and manager of the Miami Marlins, Skip Schumacher, nice enough, is going to give us a quick call to give us a little scouting report and talk about the trade and the guys that we're getting for the San Diego Padres in that deal, which is nice of Skip. Obviously, the Marlins made a bunch of deals yesterday. I think they picked up 9 prospects and sent out, you know, a half dozen Major League Baseball players at the trade deadline, mostly viewed as smart moves for a team that obviously is not in contention, most of them, other than the, I think, Brian De La Cruz deal and obviously the Jazz Chisholm deal from a couple of days ago. Most are guys expiring contracts, get what you can, help rebuild a farm system that's not ranked very highly in Major League Baseball. But Skip, always really good to this show, has agreed to call us up at 7 o'clock this morning and talk about some of the new guys who are coming to the Padres.
Yeah, I will be honest. I felt a little, like, dirty, like, reaching out to him even. Like, I'm like, man, this sucks. This sucks for this guy. This guy was the manager of the year for this team, and now, like, probably done at the end of the year. They have just completely gutted anybody with even a little bit of baseball talent. You're gone. I'm like, that sucks. But I know he's a friend of the show. I knew he would probably do it. He texted me about 20 minutes before first pitch in their game yesterday.
So tells you where, you know, where obviously his head's at. I would imagine that, you know, Adam Mazur, Graham Pauly, probably chance to get an opportunity right away. With that team, with all the openings on the big league roster, maybe even Robbie Snelling at some point in the last couple of months, if he's thrown well in the minor leagues, could get a promotion. So it's a path to the big leagues for those guys in an organization where it was going to be a lot harder to find playing time
for
the San Diego Padres. So while, you know, you probably, if you're Mazur, you're going, oh, I'm leaving a really fun group and a chance that, you know, go to the playoffs and make a deep run. You're also going to an organization that can be a little more patient. You know, they're not going to care as much if you give up five runs in three innings, and they'll let you go and start again because, well, quite frankly, they don't have anything else, and they don't have any reason to worry about the L's and what you're going to be doing on the field. They want to give you some major league experience.
That's why I was so confused with Garrett Crochet, like, allegedly torpedoing any chance he had of getting off maybe the worst baseball team in the history of Major League Baseball.
That is confusing in terms. I mean, the only thing with Crochet is that he's really at a pivot point in his career. He needs to get that big contract.
I mean, he'll get traded in the offseason, I'm sure.
I've got to imagine that is the plan. But yeah, for Garrett,
I wouldn't want to be in that clubhouse around that team in that ballpark for one more day.
Garrett Crochet is angling for that first big deal. And until you get it, you're not really set as a baseball player.
100%.
And, you know, he's had some injury issues. I'm sure it's in his mind. Like, the worst thing that could possibly happen right now is that I blow out my arm before I sign the big deal. And now I've got the possibility of going to a team that, if they're in a playoff hunt, they may blow so far past, like, my, you know, safe innings level. I mean, you get to the, you know, Steven Strasburg level. What if a team traded for Garrett Crochet and they needed him to start three times in a World Series? Like, all right, you got game 1, 4, and 7, dude, because we don't have anyone else right now. Yeah, my arm's about to fall off. Hey, it's the World Series. Go out there and pitch. And then in the offseason, they go, yeah, your arm's shot, you know. No, we're not going to sign you to a long-term contract extension. I understand from a business perspective where Garrett Crochet and his agent are coming from in terms of protecting his most valuable commodity,
sure,
his arm. But, yeah, I mean, to be condemned to another 2 months on a Chicago White Sox team that is now already the worst team maybe in baseball history, and now you've taken a bunch of guys off of it, maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. I mean, a bunch of minor leaguers can't do much worse. They've lost 16 games in a row. Can't do worse than that, right? So try something else in
17
Chicago.
17 in a row.
17 last night?
No, they could.
Oh, they could. Yeah, that's true. You can keep losing, that's for sure. So that was the big move made yesterday by A.J. Preller. We'll talk about it with Skip Schumacher. We will also talk about it with A.J. Preller, the general manager and president of baseball operations for the San Diego Padres, will join us at 8 o'clock this morning. You know, he talked to the media yesterday and answered most of the questions. One thing that I am curious about is the Martin Perez acquisition, kind of the last-minute grab a starting pitcher. Felt like the Pirates had picked up, I think, a pitcher, and maybe they just didn't have any room, and A.J. kind of swooped in and said, all right, looks like they're going to probably have to release him anyway, and got him for a Dominican Summer League young prospect in, you know, basically almost nothing to get Martin Perez. But why him and not some of the other, like, fifth starter type options that were out there?
Yeah, I know there were a lot of people that loved the trades yesterday. I mean, Padres have arguably the best bullpen in baseball now. I mean, you essentially shortened the game to like a six-inning game. If your starter comes out after five or six and you have the lead, you have to feel really good about your chances now.
But will you have those leads over the next 2 months when your fourth starter is still Randy Vasquez, yeah, and your fifth starter may now be Martin Perez, who's literally had like two good starts this year, and otherwise it's been a a pretty bad year for the left-hander.
I loved the trades. I think the bullpen is in great shape right now. But, of course, I was confused that they didn't really go out and get that starting pitcher that we assumed he would go out and get. And you think, well, maybe the market was just too much. You know, you saw what, like, Kikuchi went for a couple of days ago. Maybe the market was just asking too much. Then I saw what the Dodgers gave up for Jack Flaherty, and I go, that, I feel like we could have probably matched that.
That was a head-scratcher for everyone, the Jack Flaherty deal. Now, it was reported by The Athletic last night that Flaherty was going to the Yankees, and then the Yankees didn't like his medicals. And they actually torpedoed the deal late at the last minute. So it's possible that the Dodgers got a bit of a discount, knowing we're taking on some risk here, that maybe he might not be healthy completely for the rest of the season, and he's only a rental. So you're kind of rolling the dice on Jack Flaherty. They may have given up two prospects for damaged goods over the last couple of months of the season, and that may be why the Padres ended up staying away. They can't really afford to give up prospects for damaged goods. They need someone who can actually pitch over the last 2 months of the season. Maybe he will, and it'll end up being a LA Dodgers. But they're clearly taking some sort of risk on that the Yankees were not willing to take on with Jack Flaherty, who was the best starting pitcher dealt yesterday, and the price tag was shockingly low, like two prospects, not anywhere near what Yusei Kikuchi got, you know, in the deal with the Houston Astros. So why? It's kind of got to be the medicals. Maybe the Tigers got desperate. The Yankees torpedoed it so late. It's like, all right, we got 45 minutes left, and we need to trade this guy for something, you know, and they start, you know, calling everybody up on the phone. Now, apparently, and we can get into this, but apparently the Dodgers were very interested in Tanner Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible that when Flaherty all of a sudden became available at the end, they pulled out of the Tanner Scott deal, which left the Padres to go and grab Tanner Scott as they worked on a Flaherty deal in the last couple of hours before the trade deadline. That's why the trade deadline is so wild. You know, it's going one direction, then all of a sudden one move is made, and everybody's going in a different direction. And it all has to happen over a period of a few hours. You know, in the middle of the baseball season.
Yeah, I think it's also important to note that Brian Hoeing, I think, can start. Can be a starter, maybe more of an opener, but like he's got that ability in him. He can be a closer, middle relief, long relief, like whatever, high leverage. Like he's a pretty versatile guy, kind of like a Matt Strom was. He started some games.
This year he has been. Before this year he was.
Hoeing.
He was nothing. Hoeing, yeah.
Yes.
Before this year, he was off the everybody's radar. He's had a good season this year.
He started two games for Miami this year.
I wouldn't be surprised, and maybe I'll ask AJ also if they've seen something in Hoeing where they feel like, you know, maybe they can stretch him out into more of a starter. They like it. I think he's got a four-pitch mix, which, you know, could.
And maybe AJ knows that Joe's on his way back, and we only got to go one more time through the rotation or something like that. And
still,
nobody knows about Yu Darvish.
You are now kind of on the razor's edge when it comes to starting pitching for the next 2 months. Even if Joe comes back, you're still one injury away from not having a fifth starter for 2 months.
Yeah,
you know, and Yu Darvish remains in the equation as well. AJ even admitted yesterday that, you know, he's kind of looking at the playoffs when he's saying this is a bullpen that can win in the playoffs. You do have to get there first. You have to get there before you may have the team that is best suited for playoff baseball in the entire league. You don't get there, you can't win the World Series. So, you know, that's got to be job one, is getting to the postseason. Do the Padres have enough starting pitching? We can talk about that. We'll take some phone calls certainly at some point this morning. Tier ones want to get your opinion on what the Padres did yesterday. The other move was simply kind of bookkeeping, trading Eniel De Los Santos to the New York Yankees. He probably would have been released otherwise because they didn't, you know, they have to clear some roster space for Jason Adam and for Tanner Scott and for Brian Hoeing. They're going to have to make a couple more moves today just to add those guys. So you get what you can for Eniel De Los Santos, shed a little salary, make it all work. And that was kind of the trade deadline day for your San Diego Padres. Let's take a timeout. When we come up, Paulie's been working feverishly on our Padres wrap-up. I have not heard all the calls yet from Jesse. I listened to some of Sammy's postgame show last night. I was at work, and then I got to hear some of it on my drive home.
'Twas a good one.
But I didn't hear all of Jesse's calls, which I am very excited to hear how Jesse called all the action last night. Coming up next in our Padres wrap-up, Ben and Woods continuing on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
And AJ Preller just does it again, right? Doesn't he? I mean, if he doesn't win executive veto, there's something wrong with the process. I mean, let's take us through to this trade, right? On the eve of opening day, he trades for Dylan Cease and gets an ace who's a Cy Young candidate. Then he waits a couple of months, and he calls up the Marlins, and he goes and gets a guy that's won a batting title in both leagues in Lewis Arraez, right? And then he sits there a couple of days ago, and he trades for Jason Adam, one of the best setup relievers in the game, and now he gets another impact closer in Tanner Scott to put with Robert Suarez in the back end. And now, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they have one of the best bullpens in the game, and they're a team that's not only a playoff team, but they're now positioned where they can do serious damage in October with that bullpen that they'll be throwing out there. This is an unbelievable move for them.
That is former MLB executive Jim Bowden on MLB Network Radio advocating for A.J. Preller to win Executive of the Year based on the moves that he's made. And certainly offers a compelling case there, Paulie.
Well, yeah, again, like you said, it wasn't just the relievers that were added yesterday. You have to factor in Dylan Cease, Luis Arraez. I mean, he's had a hell of an off or a hell of a season as far as moving some guys around and bringing in some really quality players.
Obviously, the results for AJ Preller over the last decade as Padres GM have been very, very mixed. And as Padres fans, we know about the bad decisions and the moves that we'd love to have back. And no GM is perfect. The one thing that AJ truly has, I think, in spades, more than any other general manager, maybe even sports executive I have ever seen, he is unafraid. He is unafraid to make a move that could come back and bite him. And so many execs, and I understand it, are afraid to pull the trigger on a deal that they know could come back and haunt them. You know, if Robbie Snelling goes on and becomes an all-star pitcher, or Dylan Lesko does, and the Padres get nothing but some bullpen help, nothing but a rental in the case of Tanner Scott, a couple of those guys come up and become all-stars, like with the Mariners trade a few years ago, getting Austin Nola and giving up Munoz, an all-star, and everything that they lost in that haul. AJ sets himself up where he can look really, really bad later, but he's unafraid, and he's unafraid to keep trying and keep doing it. And he has this almost unfounded confidence in himself that he's just going to go back and refill the farm system and do it again.
And we've seen him do that. We have seen him do that many times already in his tenure here. So if you are out there listening and you're very upset with the fact that we traded away more prospects and weakened the farm system, like, who better than AJ Preller to just stock it up? Like, if I told you they're going to be the number 9 farm system in all of baseball next year, would you doubt me?
And let's be clear, Paul, I wouldn't doubt you. He could rebuild it that quickly.
He does it.
He's done it every time. The Padres are still a couple of injuries, bad breaks away from falling flat on their face.
And so is every team.
AJ Preller could be fired at the end of this season. Absolutely could be fired at the end of the season. But let me ask the question to the Tier 1s, to the Padres fans. What kind of GM would you rather have? A guy who's just scared to make a move, like is always, well, we got these prospects and let's hold on to them and just see what they turn into in a few years, and we're just going to be patient and that's all we're going to do? Or would you rather have a swashbuckler who's willing to put his chips out in the middle of the table, and sometimes he loses, and he loses big on some of those pots. And then when he does, he's not gun-shy to try it again, and he goes out and tries it again. I do feel confident that the best way eventually to win a World Series is with the swashbuckler and not the guy who's going to wait, bide his time for 4 years and hope that it all comes together, that he made all the right decisions over 5 years to get your one chance at it. No, he's just going to keep throwing it chance after chance after chance. And yeah, there's a price to pay sometimes on the back end that's not pretty. But fortunately, like you said, he keeps restocking and giving the Padres more chances, more bites at the apple to go out there and try it again if it doesn't work the last time. All right, well, let's get to the highlights. Our Padres wrap up. What a win. I mean, you're down 5-0 in the first inning to the Dodgers. Even the optimistic Padres fans have got to think, all right, this one's probably not going to happen for us tonight.
I was feeling pretty good after the trade deadline. I'm like, all right, let's go get this dub tonight. And then that first inning happened. You're like, ooh.
Sucked the air out of the room.
Yeah.
I mean, so many big moments that not only got the Padres back into the game, but kept it at five for the Dodgers for nine straight innings. You've got to keep them at five to really have a chance in that game. And they did. All the highlights in our Padres wrap-up right after a check of traffic from Kelly here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Is it extra sweet because this is against the Dodgers?
First and third, nobody out, just underway. 2-1 pitch, hit off the end of the bat into left center field. Merrill, long run back into the gap, and he gets there to make the catch. Plenty deep for Ohtani to tag and score. A sacrifice fly for Gavin Lux. And a 1-0 Dodger lead in the first. 1-1. Páez hits it hard on the ground up the middle into center field. Base hit. Smith has scored. Hayward's on his way. He's going to score. That's a 2-run single for Andy Páez. And a 3-0 Dodger lead in the first. 2-2. Biggio swings. Hits it in the air deep down the right field line. Peralta back to the corner looking up. Off the pole. A home run. And a 5-0 Dodger lead here in the first. It was a nice little return. Over the weekend, stings this one in the air. Deep to center field. Páez is back, looking up, going to go. Line drive, home run to the right of the palm tree out in center field. Manny Machado with his 15th of the year, and the Padres are on the board here in the second inning. Profar leans back in the left-handed batter's box, hits this one hard on the ground through the right side base hit. Arise rounding third. Hayward unleashes a throw. No chance. RBI single Jurickson Profar, and now a 5-2 game here in the third. Here's the 1-0. Cronenworth hits it hard over the head of the first baseman Biggio, down the right field line into the corner. Profar is racing towards third base. He is going to be set. The throw comes into Lux. Relay to the plate, not in time. RBI double Jake Cronenworth, and a 2-run game here in the third. 2-2 is popped up, foul ground third base. Manny over towards the Dodger dugout, running out of room, leaning into the dugout, and he made the catch. Manny Machado into enemy territory, and we'll hang a star here at Petco, out number two in the top of the fourth. 1-1 to Hernandez. Kike swings, hits it off the end of the bat into shallow center. Long run, Jackson Merrill dives forward and makes the catch to end the inning. Padres put on a defensive clinic here in the eighth. First it was Machado, and now it's Merrill. Will hang a star and head to the bottom of the eighth. A lot of history between these two. First pitch on the way. Machado swings, hits it in the air, deep to left field. Teoscar Hernandez will watch, and it's going to go. A long home run for Machado. He's to the night, and a one-run game in the bottom of the ninth inning. A first pitch home run for Manny Machado. Merrill swings, hits it in the air, deep to right field. Páez is back. He is at the wall. It's going to go!
You better believe it. We were talking about it before the game. This young man enjoys this moment, and he steps into it and owns it. Solo shot has tied this ball game at five, and it's a new ball game.
Ball and two strikes. Here's the pitch on the way. Solano swings, hits a ground ball past the dive of Hernandez down the left field line to win it. Kim scores. Solano walks it off, and the Padres come back from a 5-0 deficit to beat the Dodgers in 10.
This team has no quit in them at all. Down 5-0 in the first. Chip away, tie it in the ninth, win it in the 10th.
Don't take it for granted. You know, we enjoy it, celebrate it, grateful for it. You know, all the good things about heart, dedication to competition, regardless of circumstances, you know, belief in themselves, the greater good. Yeah, this is what fun teams and highly competitive teams and teams with a lot of hunger do, you know, regardless, they just compete.
Well, Jesse Agler did not disappoint with those calls. He actually did not disappoint with the Incorporator as well. We'll get to that at some point a little bit later. You know who didn't disappoint as well? Tony Gwynn Jr. bringing his A game on some of those calls as well. Great interjections from the color analyst in the radio booth as well. Good job by both of those guys painting the picture of an incredible night at Petco Park as the Padres rally from 5-0 down to beat the Dodgers 6-5 in 10 innings. And you heard, obviously, all the home runs and the comeback and the offense, but you did hear some of the defense as well in that game. Jackson Merrill's diving catch there in the 8th inning, just electrifying the crowd further and setting up what happened in the 9th inning. But what a game, Paulie, for Manny Machado. All around, not just the two home runs, which were obviously huge, but made two really spectacular catches in foul territory. You heard the one where he went into the dugout. He's blowing a bubble. He's checking twice to see where the railing is for the Dodgers dugout. He leans as far as possible into the dugout, makes a snow cone type catch, ends up kind of like leaning. I don't know. I'm thinking like, you know, guy wearing a leather jacket in a 50s movie, just kind of, you know, casually leaning on the railing of the Dodgers dugout as Teoscar Hernandez comes over and is like trying to playfully knock it out of his glove. Like, dude, you just did that in our dugout? Come on, man. You can't be that cool just to walk over there and make that catch. What a game for Manny Machado.
You heard Jesse and Tony on that call of Manny's catch on the dugout rail. Did you hear Don and Mudd, though? Mudd was spectacular yesterday.
2-2, sky to the infield, foul ground for Manny Machado, going as far as he can, and Manny will make the catch, leaning into the Dodgers dugout! Makes the catch, says hello to some people. Nice play by Manny Machado.
Hey, if Manny says wow, yes, it's wow worthy. There's the bubble. There's the flash look. And the Dodgers, you just got Machado'd.
What an incredible game for Manny, who's still got it in him, that's for sure.
You know, I'll say it. We had heard that Manny finally feels healthy. We heard this about a week ago. And he was starting to get locked into the plate. You'd seen him improve as the season has progressed. And I was watching the game last night, and I go, yeah, he looks healthy. He looks happy. He doesn't look like he's in pain. He's playing at a elite level that we expect out of him, both offensively and defensively. I think he's back.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a slump at the plate coming out of the All-Star break on the road trip while the other Padres were winning, so he didn't really notice. And then I think it was Saturday. Had that 3-run home run, took a really good swing on it, similar to the home run that he hit last night in the second inning. That line drive kind of going the other way, center, right center field. And then the 9th inning home run when he pulls one and hits he doesn't often hit the towering shots, but when he does, the lean back.
That lean,
and just kind of admire because, you know, I mean, that's going toward the second deck like it did. We got much more to talk about with this game, but when we come back, we're going to chat about the Padres' new acquisitions with someone who knows them fairly well. That would be their former manager, the skipper named Skip of the Miami Marlins. Will join us next here on 97.3 The Fan. Do not go away.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.